Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Hello and welcome to a replay podcast here on the channel. In this episode, I take a look at the legacy of a group of some 55 Italian families that came to the village of Mahlavani back in the late 1800s. Today, all that remains of that Italian influence is its church, high on the hill, and the vineyards that those settlers founded, by the way, are still harvested and turned into wine, and families with both Italian first and second names. Many years ago, I heard about this small former colony near where I've lived for nearly 20 years. I've been intrigued ever since. So to my surprise, and by pure chance, I bumped into one of the descendants of one of those Italian families, Julia, and asked her if she could tell me more about her community. She agreed, and so we met her and her family at that Italian church on the hill looking down on the Verbas Valley, just like her ancestors must have done on their arrival over 140 years earlier. It's quite the story.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
We're in this really rustic room in a building overlooking Banja Luka Airport. And when you look in this wonderful view that we have, it's like an amazing valley that runs from the Croatian border at the River Sava at one end, and it goes all the way down to the foothills of central Bosnia, which is on the other side of Banja Luka. So we have this valley, and we're on this hill. Now, this hill is particularly special, not only because of the view, because watching or looking at an airport is nothing, but when you're looking at vineyards, now that is something else. And on top of that, this location has a particular community built around it that came here in the late 19th century. And we're going to find out about that. We're going to find out about food and a lot of other things. Now, when we talk about food, we talk about ingredients, right? You have different ingredients that you put in the pot, you mix it all together, and then something comes out and it tastes really nice. Today, we have a linguistic meal that Julia is going to help us with. Because today, we will be speaking English, we will be speaking Italian, see?
Si.
That's Beppe, by the way. Well done, Beppe. We'll be speaking English.
Yes, of course.
Won't we, Julia?
I try to speak English, but I'm not sure if I...
Well, you're doing all right at the moment. And what's your father's name?
Romano.
And Romano's going to do Serbsky, right?
Yes.
Dobar dan.
Dobar dan, kako ste?
See, that means how are you? I'm fine. So we're going to try and do all this today, which means that if, when I'm talking to Julia, she has like culinary questions, it could be that Beppe, sat on my right, is going to answer those. When we come to the history, her dad is going to tell us that. Right, here's a backgrounder. In the late 19th century, the Ottomans were leaving Bosnia and Herzegovina because the Austro-Hungarians had got the mandate from the international community to take over this particular area. And the powers that be decided that they wanted to improve the quality of life and to take it from being, and I can say this without being ashamed, this peasant culture and try and raise it up to a more European standard. And part of that was they asked some Italian families to bring their skills here. That's where it started. We're here today in 2022, and we're joined by some lovely Italians. I tell you, I've just had some wine and some food, so I don't know if I'm going to get through this, but we'll see. Julia, first thing.
Yes.
Today has been an exceptional feast of Italian food. And if I didn't know that I was in Bosnia-Herzegovina, I would most probably think that I was in Italy. You were born here in Lektarsi?
Yes.
You grew up in an Italian family. You've travelled around?
Italian, not actually only Italian. My mother is not Italian.
See?
My mother is from...
So you've grown up in a multicultural environment.
Yes.
First of all, what's it... And you've travelled and some years ago you came back. So first of all, what was it like growing up here with a family that had not only Serbian influence, but also Italian influence as well?
But it was very different, you know, from all my friends, from all my, you know, people that I know, because it was, every year we have two Easters, two Christmas, and it was completely different from other people that is living here. But it was very nice, very nice anyway. And some sisters and brothers from my grandfather every year came here from Rome. And then we have, you know, spend more time with them and we go around and came here on the church and cemetery and everything. And it was very nice anyway.
Did you feel more Italian or more Serbian? And the reason I ask that is that my grandparents were Irish.
Okay.
And at my age now, and I'm on the wrong side of 60, I still feel more Irish than I do English. That's why I would like to find out from you.
Actually, it's two different things. When I been here, I feel more Serbian, normal, from here, from Bosnia, Serbia, wherever. Because you are grow up here, you have everything, you know, here. But then, when I moved in Italy in 2001, and I feel very, very good in Italy. I pick up everything from Italian people, like I was maybe grow up there, I was born there and everything, because, I don't know, I like food, I like people, I like... but wherever the Italian people done, I like it, everything. And I don't know, I feel more Bosnian before, but now I'm feeling more maybe Italian. I don't know.
I want to ask Deda the same question. When he grew up all those years, and he grew up a long time before,
okay,
before you did, his memories of his family, was it more Italian then or more Serbian?
Okay. pita kad si ti odrastao, pošto si ti odrastao prije mene, da li se ti više osjećao Italijan ili se više osjećao Bosanac, Srbin, kako već nekad je bilo, Jugoslovin.
Ja sam se rodio u Jugoslaviji, uvijek sam se osjećao kao Jugosloven i da, danas osjećam.
He told me that he born here and then in here. Now it's Bosnia, but before it was Yugoslavia. And he always feel like from here, not like Italian.
So what does he feel now with you bringing the Italian side of the community back to the forefront?
Kak se sad osjećaš? Imaš lišta, kako bih rekla, sad, zato što si ti, došli smo mi, imaš zeta koji je Italijan, bio si u Italiji, imaš lišta. Da li je to povezano? Kak se sad osjećaš? Više
vraćaju se korijen. Kako treko, drago mi da ste došli.
Ne, kako se ti osjećaš?
Ja sam presretno.
Italijan ili te vuče više na italijanskoj? Ili...
Više me vuče na ovo ovdje Republika Srpska i ovo gdje sam rođen.
He feel more, anyway, he very happy that we are here now, that all family is together, and then his...
son-in-law?
Yes, son-in-law. It's Italian, and even me, I'm not telling that I'm completely Italian, but I'm speaking very well Italian, and I'm feeling not more Italian than Bosnian or Serbian, but, you know. But anyway, he is born here, and my father lived in Italy for 15 years, I think. 20? More or less 20 years. But, you know, every Friday, take the car, come here, stay here with the people that is staying here. You know, when you are born somewhere, it's always, you know, your place. Indifferently, if you are Italian or if you are English, or it's.
But there is this cultural connection, this community connection here. From those first Italians that came, there's a church here.
Yes.
There's super wine.
Actually, I think my father's family and maybe another one, it was unique family that stay here.
So you're saying most of them went back?
A lot of people that when they came here for during the war and everything, a lot of people came back into Italy. My father's family and I think another one, I don't know that now the name, we always stay here. No one came back to Italy to live.
So how many families would you say, and maybe your father can tell us, how many families within this community, this tight community that you have on Hill, how many still have some form of Italian in their daily life, whether that is phraseology in their speech or the way they eat?
I can maybe answer to this question because actually the old people, it's no one is with us now. It's all dead now. And the son or the daughter or everything else that is coming after, these people now it's born in Italy. And yeah, we know that it's Bosnia, that it's Italian church, it's everything, but no one is coming. Sometimes someone is coming here, but it's not feeling actually from here.
Now you married a very nice guy, Beppe, who's over there.
Thank you.
He's got the nicest actor's beard I've ever seen. But no, I mean, he's here. We've been eating food today. I didn't know that he's a chef. Your son is your sous chef in a restaurant.
And
answer honestly now, in a way, it's like a renaissance for that Italian origination of all those years ago that you've brought back. Did you plan to do that?
No, definitely no. Me, no, because when I went to live in Italy, I, you know, just go away from here. But not because I don't have money just because I have possibility to go in Italy to learn the language, to do something different, no? And then I meet my husband, and then everything is changed completely because I want to stay maybe for 1 year, 2 years to learn the language and then come back here and just work and do my things. But now everything is changed, no? And first time when I bring Giuseppe here, it was like almost 18 years ago, no? And he told me, I want to live here one day. And I had no way. I don't think so, we live here, you know, just... I can't imagine that someone from Italy, that it's born in Italy, I'm completely different. It's coming here to live like you from England that you came here, you know. It was almost 20 years ago, it was very difficult to understand that someone can come here to live. But everything, a lot of things change, even in Italy, in England or wherever. And now we are here and yeah, actually maybe he was right when he told me 20 years ago, I want to live here, and now we are here, we are living here. And
you've got two great children. You've got an older boy, who I said earlier on could be your sous chef, and a very talented daughter. We've just had a piano recital from her. The thing about those two is that they speak with a better London accent than I do. Why did you go to London to open a restaurant?
Per cambiare un po', per vedere com'era Londra, per conoscere Londra. Poi io ero un fan sfegatato di Amy Winehouse. Mi piaceva Camden Town, la situazione di Camden Town. Volevo conoscere Londra e era l'unica cosa che potevo fare. Era aprire un ristorante perché la mia passione è la cucina.
So he basically wanted to change a bit, and he was a big fan, and he still is, of Amy Winehouse, and and he really likes like the Camden, and like he always wanted to go there. And basically, it's just like his passion. And when he decided to come to London, he also decided to open a restaurant because his passion is cooking.
Was it difficult for you to run an Italian restaurant in London, which is different from here when there's so few of them? But in London, there's so many of them. That must have been a challenge.
Era difficile per te aprire un ristorante in italiano perché tipo qua ce ne sono pochi, però invece in Inghilterra che ce ne sono tanti. Era tipo difficile?
No, perché a Camden Town non ce n'erano tanti e poi gli inglesi cercavano l'italiano italiano, la pasta italiana, l'ambiente, il calore, la festa italiana, italiano. E abbiamo fatto 4 anni belli con gli inglesi e con parecchi italiani che ci sono a Londra.
He said that it wasn't hard because in Camden there wasn't many Italian restaurants and people wanted to have like the true Italian food and like the tradition, and he just felt like that was what he meant to do.
We had a tasting today. Doesn't she speak perfect English? You'd think she was, right? Yeah, I agree.
I'm not speaking.
we had a
poco.
We had a tasting today.
No, it's not.
And
because we already.
I know we finished it.
Finish everything.
There's hardly anything left for those that can see at home, right? But no, there was pasta served today, and I just love pasta, and I said to Julia about. The pasta here is different from anywhere else that I've had it. That includes the Italian restaurants I used to go to back when I was in England. But definitely here, there is an amazingly outstanding difference. And I said to her, you know, how do you do that? She said, I don't do it. It's Beppe that does it.
Yes.
And she also said that he had an issue. Beppe, when you started to create your menu and to create the food, how easy or not was it for you to get local chefs working in your kitchen to produce a menu to your standard?
Praticamente tipo quando hai fatto il menù sì. E tipo tutta la roba che volevi fare da mangiare sì. Quanto difficile era fare i tipo i chef che hai trovato sì. Locali farli tipo fare sì. Il da mangiare che volevi, come lo vuoi fare tu?
Fortunatamente sono riuscito a creare uno staff solo italiano, Napoli, Sicilia, il nostro staff era tutto. Ah, qui.
Do you mean here or in London?
Here.
Dada, ovvio.
Non proprio tanto. Due mesi abbastanza duri e devi fare vedere come si fa la bolognese, come si fa la cottura, i tempi di cottura. Poi se la materia prima è buona riusciamo a trovare pasta buona, sugo buono, italiano. E bisogna lavorare insieme ai ragazzi che ci sono.
Basically, like, it took 2 months and it was, like, really hard because you have to show everything. And when you find, like, because he doesn't speak the language, so, like, that was also the hard job. But when you find, like, the right products and everything, it's, like, a lot easier. But, like, you just have to show and help because there's, like, no other way.
You know, when you're talking about the products, the ingredients,
yes.
I noticed today that when we were having the pasta, your mother said, this is pork cheek. And I noticed that Tamara went, And so pork cheek is not a normal thing here. How difficult has it been for Beppe to find what he needs to get that total Italian taste?
Quanto difficile era per trovare tutti gli ingredienti giusti, tipo guanciale o la roba che usi, per fare tipo il cibo italiano tradizionale?
Era difficile, però con l'aiuto di mio suocero lo facciamo noi, lo fa lui e quindi i nostri amici... Gli abbiamo insegnato più o meno come fare e adesso abbiamo il guanciale e abbiamo i prodotti che sono giusti, sono come i nostri. A parte quello che importiamo dall'Italia, c'è tutto.
So basically there's like pretty much everything from the help of Romano and like their friends and except for like the things that they bring from Italy, but for the rest like they basically found everything that they need.
Just like that?
Yes. Guanciale.
We just explained the people how to make it. And now we made it here, guanciale, that it's pork cheek.
What is the reaction to mum and dad, your mum and dad, to what you're doing? Are they supportive or are they shocked? Maybe a little bit both, huh?
Both of them, yeah. But no, they help. It's very... good for us, because even me, for 20 years, I didn't live here, and everything has changed. 20 years, it's a lot of time, you know? But with them, it's easy for us, you know, everything, even, you know, to find the products, to find the people that you can work with them, and, you know, a lot of things. But it's easy with them here, you know?
Today when I arrived, there was this guy with a sort of like white beard from Belgrade, yes. I think. And, I mean, my Serbian is pretty limited and his English was extremely good. So once again, I felt like I was in League Division 3. But nevertheless, I then get to find out that he's quite a celebrity. Is that not right? He's a celebrity, Tamara.
He is, yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's famous.
He's having like a television program.
Yeah, he's got a TV program in Serbia. Total transparency here. Yes, I did get a selfie with him. Don't worry about it. When a TV chef from a neighbouring country, such as Serbia, brings a TV crew to see you at the epicentre of where an Italian community was, and the epicentre of every community is its church, yes, which is right next to us, and then proceeds to look at the food that you create, the culture that you're following, to me that means that you have started to arrive and make an impact in this area.
We hope. We definitely hope that it's like you are just explained. Because we want to bring something different here, you know. The people, it's not like I live in London for 5 years. In London, like you told before, it's a lot of Italian people. It's a lot of other cultures, kitchens and everything. But here it's actually no. Here it's very difficult that you can find, I don't know, different type of restaurants and everything. And then we want to make something different, you know, that people, when they come with to our restaurant, that can then tell, yes, this pasta, it's very good. It's the same like maybe I eat in Italy when I go for the holidays or something, on something a little bit different, definitely.
I've lived here long enough to know, and I think one should always be open and honest. I've seen restaurants come and go in Banja Luka. I've seen Asian restaurants, I've seen French restaurants, I've seen Spanish restaurants. They sort of like there for 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months, and then they go, because the local culture is conservative with a small C. The mentality is very difficult. Yeah. So that's been in the back of my mind. It kept me awake all night last night about how do you defeat any negativity or any conservatism with a small C,
yeah,
to what you're doing?
It's not easy. It's not easy because you need to explain to people, and I just push them to try something different, because our people, it's eating a lot of meat and just meat and, you know, and just try this and maybe you can like it. If you need to try something to say, I don't like this, or I like this, you know, you need to try something different to see, to tell me, yeah, no, this one I don't like it, or maybe this one it's okay, or, you know, it's difficult. Even now, it's not easy, but we are here and we are going, you know, we want to try, and we don't want to, I don't know how to in English, we don't, in French, come si dice molare? Non vogliamo mollare.
We don't want to give up.
Yeah, give up. We don't want to give up, definitely.
Is that why you chose your hometown of Laktaši? Because, to be honest, it has a small population. The Obstina, the municipality, is big.
Yes.
But the town, as it is now,
yes,
is small. Is that why you chose here rather than going to Banja Luka and take on the big?
Actually,
the big...
When we start, we want to open something in Banja Luka, because Banja Luka is biggest, and there are a lot of people and everything, and even the tourists. And but then, you know, it's more difficult even if... and then we think maybe it's better here, small, something very, very... intimate? No.
Intimate.
Yeah. Yeah. And then people, if they try something that we made, even they can come even from Banja Luka or from other place, you know, and just to explain to people that everything is in family, you know, not like I'm opening the restaurant, the big one, I never going inside, you know, just the people it's working for me and that's it. We want to be there, we want to speak with the people that it's coming in, and then we want to, you know, like a big family, to stay together and let them try our plates and food, and even to make them friends, and that people is coming, because we are inside, you know.
I've stalked you on Facebook, so I know. That was that in a nice way. You've been to, one of the recent posts was that you went to a wine fair.
Yes, yes.
The Verona wine fair.
Yeah.
Do you think that it is important to bring things like Italian wine? Tamara and I drank some Italian wine today, and it is markedly different from the wine that is produced here domestically. So a two-part question. Do you think bringing different wines is exciting? Do local people find that exciting? And two, how does that compete with that vineyard that is at the bottom of the hill just outside those windows where we're sitting?
Actually, when we went to Verona to wine fair, we bring my friend. It's my friends. We grew up together from the school, and we just grew up together. Now my friends is having the fornitore?
Import.
It's making import export from the drinks and all things, no? And I bring him with me in Italy, and then we try different kind of wine and explain and everything. And my friends actually import some Italian wine because we want to do this. And now the people, it's coming back to my place because I have Italian wine different from all other place, not like the same, you know. And I think that people, it's like to try something different, and it's nice because I have a lot of people that is coming. I want to try, you know, I drink the red wine from Italy that you have and... why not? Just something, we need to do something different because if you're going to all other place, it's always the same wine. Even me, I have wine from here, from Serbia, from, it's good, you know, even it's very, very good wine, but we are Italian restaurant. We want to have Italian wine, very good Italian wine that people, when it's coming to us, that it's wow. I try this wine here. I can't find in any other restaurant or and anyway, we have, you know, mix from here, from Italia, but I think it's good, you know, the people, it's like it.
Is Beppe really good with fast, quick questions?
I don't know.
Let's find out. Yeah. Beppe,
please.
Your menu is diverse at the moment. What is your dream? Because everybody has a dream. What is your dream for your menu? Do you want to make it more half and half, more local and Italian, or do you want to go for that Formula One option of 100% Italian for your guests?
Visto che adesso tipo c'è il menù un po' tipo metà-metà,
sì.
Tu per tipo il tuo sogno vorresti farlo ancora che può tipo un poco italiano e un poco serbo, sì, o 100% italiano?
No, vorrei continuare così 50-50. Cioè quello che c'è di meglio qui e quello che è di meglio in Italia è per unire comunque...
He would still like to keep it like the half and half because like he wants to keep the best of Italian food and the best of Serbian food, or let's say local food, which is like to get more people to come because maybe not everybody likes Italian food for exact reasons. I mean, that's weird, but still.
Cool. There's two people we've left out of this and I don't like leaving people out.
Okay.
So, what does Barker and Mama?
Barker,
what does Mama and Tata? What do they think about what you've done so far?
Stavi mi si trovo mi sto sembiamo da trovare al ristorante to.
Mama è brava.
I see. And you see, what's my father's impression? My
audio is a theatre of the mind. Dada just put a corkscrew in his head. But your mum thinks it's great.
Yeah, definitely.
Does she eat with you? Does she eat at your restaurant?
Yes, of course.
We
made the food in our house, like Italian food, not always. My mom, it's very good. Cook, you know, like traditional our food. But my mom is like Italian food, and then when we are all together, we always made the food at home, Italian food and something, you know, different.
So what is Barker's favourite that you make?
Pasta. 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 Pasta.
Pasta.
My mother said, I like pasta.
Usually. I love pasta.
Pasta with porcini mushroom. Sausages. Oh. It's something like it's homemade.
I'm gonna have
pasta.
To go to hospital in a minute. You know that.
You can come in my restaurant. I have this pasta on my menu. It's amazing. It's homemade pasta with sausages and porcini mushroom. But usually, all type of pasta, it's the best. And then my father say he liked the pasta. She liked the pasta, but she even liked me. I'm Italian.
Yes, okay. Right. Final question for you. You've set up in Lactarci. You did say to me that you chose Lactarci not only because it's your place of birth, but it's a small enough market for you to do your experimentation and test your business plan out. We all have dreams. I know that dreams changed as we get older and...
Yeah.
Situation changes. But if you could put all the exterior pressures to one side, what is Julia's dream?
My dream? It's so many, but no. Actually, every time when I'm going to holiday, somewhere where is the sea, where is the nice, you know, place... And then I tell my husband, why we are go to London to live when it's always grey, you know, in the raining and everything. And then we came even here that we don't have a sea, we don't have, you know, it's completely different. Maybe to live somewhere where is the sea, but not too much people, yeah? Just a small town with not too much people. Not too much problems. And that's it. Maybe, you know, just open to small, I don't know, kiosk.
Like a small traffic place, like a kiosk.
No, but on the...
Or like a bistro.
Kiosco sulla spiaggia.
To have like a mini...
A small place on the beach.
Yes, like you know, just
where you sell things.
To like send the contents, you know, and that's it all day. You have like a very nice
like ice creams at Brighton.
Yeah, that's it.
The market,
like a mini market,
but just a small one. I want just to make the cocktails and stay with the people, just a small one, and then all day stay in
Jamaica.
Yes, look the sea, and that's it.
I love him because he likes Jamaican music.
But now we need to grow up the kids and then maybe, who knows?
Well, we're going to be following your adventures.
Maybe I'm not just staying here forever.
No, but we're going to follow your adventures. And I would say that if anybody comes to the north of Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Republika Srpska, and if you're crossing the border, in particular at Gradiška, and you're driving down... please, you know, make your first night, your overnight stay as you drive deeper, possibly, into the Balkans. Stay in Lactarci. It's what's the name of your place again?
It's calling Stella. Ristobar Stella.
See? Say that again.
Ristobar Stella.
She says it much better than I could ever do. It's to go to Stella Ristobar. It's small. It feeds you in a way, and it's totally intimate. And I think the service that you get there is first class. I'm not being paid to say this. Tamara and I, it's like our second home. You know, we'd super glue ourselves onto the chairs if we could get away with it. Julia, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
We won't super glue ourselves to the chairs because that'll cause you a real nightmare. Beppe, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
I'm going to have to pay huge amounts of money for my interpreter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And please say thank you to Mum and Dad.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.